the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined as always by our Indians beat writer, Paul Hoynes, who's back from a week on the road, and he brought back with him a present for us. He brought back Oscar Mercado. Paul, Oscar's joined the club. It's an anticipated debut in Chicago on Tuesday. What were some of your observations of Mercado just as he joined the club and was around the team, and how the Indians treated him, and anything you saw from Oscar and the Indians?
Yeah, it was good, Joe. He was really excited, as you might expect. He's such a nice guy. We saw that in spring training, and he's really, this is a kid that, he's still, they drafted him out of St. Louis, drafted him out of high school, and he's still, only 24, but he's been playing in the minors, almost 6 years or six plus years, and that's a long time. So he was excited. His family was excited, and didn't have a great debut, but he made it through without any major mistakes. He caught everything that was hit to him, struck out a couple times, but you could tell he was tingling. He was really excited. I just hope they give him a chance. I don't know if he's, I have a feeling that I don't know if he's a platoon guy. I'm not sure, but I hope he gets a couple more games at least, just to kind of fit in, get his first hit, all that stuff out of the way, and we'll see what happens then.
Well, we saw earlier in the season with Eric Stamets come up. It was a while before he got his first hit, and you could tell he was sort of pressing there at one point. Mercado doesn't necessarily give off that same vibe. I think I get a little bit more of a confident vibe from him. And after the spring that he had and what we saw from him in that regard, he cut down on his strikeouts when he was at Columbus. He had more hits than strikeouts, which was, significant. I think this was a guy who was having problems earlier in his career getting on base. When he did get on base, he would steal bases, which is great. The Indians need a little more success in that department. But the one thing that the front office mentioned was the changes that Mercado made in the offseason sort of sticking and carrying over into his play through the first couple of months of this season. Is that what we sort of need to see out of Mercado when he gets his opportunities up here with the big league club?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he went to those swing camps in Cleveland, and in Goodyear, I think mostly they were in Cleveland, at the ballpark during the winter. It really helped to swing in. I mean, a guy couldn't have had a much better spring training than Mercado did. He had 400. He was hitting the ball out of the park. He was hitting doubles. He's playing great defense in center field. And, I guess they're going to kind of – he's played mostly center field in Columbus, but he's played the corners as well. And he made his, big league debut against the White Sox in left field. And I like the way he moves in the outfield. He looked really confident out there. So, but I think, they need some offense. And if he can add to that offense, if he can give them, a little push, I think that would go a long way to him kind of extending his stay here.
His arrival doesn't necessarily mean, all the offense's problems are fixed. I mean, this is still an offense that struggles to score more than two runs a game on most occasions. I think the numbers are pretty staggering. When they score more than five runs in a game, they generally win, but they've been held to two or fewer runs in something like 21 out of the last 36 games, or 21 out of the 36 games. It's really been a struggle for this offense to sort of sustain any sort of success.
Oh yeah, it is. It's hard watching these guys play at times. Now, as soon as you say something like that, they go out and hit five home runs and score nine runs like they did Tuesday against the White Sox. But that was an outlier,
huh?
Yeah. It's been a struggle for them to score runs, and Ramirez, I think is a big part of that. They finally dropped him in the order to fifth. And hopefully maybe that gets him going, but they've got to generate some offense, and they've got to you've got guys all over the lineup that just aren't producing, and it's tough to watch right now. And you know, I think like you were saying, I think 24 of the last, what, they played 40 games maybe, 24, 25 games, they've scored three or fewer runs, you know, and I think they've won six of those games. So even with great pitching, you got to score. And, you know, and it's easy, you know, we've said it time and time again, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, it's hard to blame. I mean, you got to blame the guys with the bats in their hands, but, you know, the people that put this team together knew what was coming. If certain things unfolded, and certain things have unfolded. I mean, Lindor's been hurt. Ramirez has been in the tank. You trade away the middle of your lineup, or you let them walk through free agency, and this is what you got. And to me, it's almost amazing that they're only 4.5 games out, and they're still, you know, they still have a winning record. So, you know, but they, you know, that's in the past now. You know, you can't do anything about that. I don't think they're going to go out and make any big trades. They have to come around. They have to, you know, deal with what they have right now. And, you know, they've got Baltimore in town right now for a 4-game series. This is a time where they should score some runs, should win some ball games, and hopefully close a gap on the Twins.
Right. If Edwin Encarnacion were sitting in Seattle on, you know, a 189 batting average and two home runs, that would sort of change the dialogue here. But that's not the case. You really did sort of rob the middle of that lineup of any sort of threat of a run producer when you traded away Encarnacion. And he's gone on and been basically Edwin that they had signed 2 years ago. And Brantley obviously is performing very well in Houston. So you look at those two and say, you know, what would this offense be like if those pieces were added to the lineup? And things would definitely be a lot different. As far as Ramirez goes, dropping him down in the order, is five the spot where Tito, you know, feels comfortable with him? There was a point, you know, before sort of Jose Ramirez became Jose Ramirez, as he was growing into the player that he was the last, you know, in 2016, 2017, and most of 2018, he was hitting in that fifth spot. He was providing that sort of protection there for the four hitter as well. Is that something Tito's comfortable doing?
Yeah, I think so. You know, his thing is, it doesn't matter where you hit him. And when he is eventually going to hit, but I think they just, the reason they did it was, you know, to move the switch hitters around, to put, you know, a switch hitter deeper in the lineup, and just to maybe take some of the heat off of, you know, Ramirez hitting in second or third. But I mean, fifth is still a key spot in anybody's lineup. Right. And, you know, that's where Ramirez did a lot of his damage. You're right. And so, you know, it's not like they dropped him to ninth or seventh or eighth. I thought that's what they might do, and, you know, just give him like a mental break. But so he's still, you know, he's still going to come up in clutch situations. He hit a home run Tuesday. Maybe that's a good sign.
But he always hits home runs against Chicago. I think he's got 17 career home runs against Chicago.
And, you know, Van Berkleel, the hitting coach, was saying, you know, he's not getting a lot of fastballs. We know that. He's getting a lot more off-speed pitches thrown his way. He's very anxious at the plate. He's jumping at the ball. But he thought he had seen some progress with his lower half, whatever that means, his legs, how he's approaching the ball or striding into the ball. So we'll see. But, you know, this has been going on for we're closing in on 2 months now, or a month and a half. You know, and it's longer than that when you go back to last year in half of August in the postseason. So, right. You know, it's a concern, and anybody who says it isn't in the organization is fooling themselves.
All right. Well, they're coming off, obviously, a 2-3 road trip. You know, the pitching continues to sort of sustain this club and give them any sort of chance to win in every game. What have you seen just out of the starting rotation in the last few days, in the last few outings? Obviously, if Carlos Carrasco could pitch against Chicago every game, the Indians' record would be a lot different.
Yeah, Carrasco's been good the last two starts, 12 consecutive scoreless innings. Joe, the guy that keeps impressing me is Rodriguez, Jeffrey Rodriguez. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of scouting report the Indians had on this guy, or you know what they knew that nobody else knew. But if I'm the Nationals, I'm sitting there thinking, I know they've got like $200 million wrapped up in their rotation. Mm-hmm. But if I'm the Nationals, I'm sitting there thinking, what did we do here? What did we just give away?
Gave away the farm for Yan Gomes.
Yeah, and you know, love Gomes, but I, you know, Gomes is what he is right now. He's, you know, a 5-6 year, you know, big leaguer. I don't think, you know, he had his one of his best seasons last year. But, you know, Rodriguez looks to me like he could, you know, he could do something. You know, if he works on his off speed pitch, he's got the velocity and he's got that good demeanor, you know. Of course, I think they're handling him right. They're getting, you know, they're not overextending him, but you know, he's pitching out of trouble. I've really been impressed with him. And you know, Bieber's scuffling a little bit. I think he's still pitching well. He's not getting the results he got last year. He's not winning as many games as he did last year. I think he's gone like 5 starts without a win. But he's had like 2 or 3 quality starts in there. So he's still pitching well. I know he gave up 4 home runs his last time out against the White Sox. And Bauer has pitched well. You know, had a good start against Oakland, 10 strikeouts. Didn't get the decision, but deserved to win that one.
Yeah, Bieber just seems to be making 1 or 2 mistakes that really cost him. And then obviously the four or five home run game, that's sort of an outlier for him. But, you know, he seems in his last couple of starts to be, you know, 1 or 2 pitches if he could have back, the whole course of the game goes different. As far as Rodriguez goes, you know, if you look at Gomes and Roberto Perez's numbers right now, Perez stacks up pretty favorably. He's had a little bit of a power surge this year, and Gomes is you know, he's giving you what Yan Gomes would normally give you at the beginning of a season, kind of scuffling. So the Indians got Daniel Johnson and Jeffrey Rodriguez in that deal, and Johnson's tearing it up down at Double-A. You gotta think the Indians might have gotten 2 big league pieces in that deal for Gomes, and you can't look at that and say that the trade didn't work out sort of in their favor right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And the infielder they got, I can't remember he's at Akron too. I know he got off to a great start down there too. The third player in that deal. So he's played well. So
Monastero, is that?
Yeah.
Monastero.
Yeah. If he's still there, I haven't checked lately if he's still in Akron, but I know he's hitting over 300 there when at the start of the year. Yeah, I think, you know, Gomes, you know, Gomes is learning a new league, a new pitching staff. I'm sure, you know, that team is always kind of on the edge to me. You know, they've got a lot of talent, a lot of money wrapped up in that team, but you know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, from the front office and ownership, and I don't know if that trickles down onto the field or not.
Right. Let's move to the injury front, and some good news for the Indians as Mike Clevinger, who's on the 60-day injured list, has started throwing bullpens. I believe he threw one out in Chicago. Obviously, the next step after, you know, getting a couple of bullpens under his wing is possibly heading out to a rehab assignment. It's May 16th. The earliest he can come back is June 6th or 7th, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So you've got a good 3 to 4 weeks to see, you know, what you've got with Clevinger.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he was, you know, Clevinger, he was jumping around. He was like he was like flying around as usual. He threw the bullpen in Chicago. He was going to play catch yesterday and then the off day at Progressive Field, and then he's scheduled to throw another bullpen today, Thursday, at the ballpark. And you know, they'll just, you know, 20 pitch bullpens. I think he's only throwing fastballs, so you know, you got to progress from, you know, I think he'll probably throw 2 more bullpens, then a simulated game, and then he'll probably, you know, then they'll talk about sending him out.
Yeah.
And if he gets 2-3 starts, they got to build him up well. So maybe 5 innings, 100 pitches, 90 pitches, 100 pitches before he could be ready to, you know, rejoin the rotation.
Right, and they have no reason to move quickly on any of that. You know, it, this is all barring any sort of setbacks as well. He hasn't reported any. How much can the Indians trust him to tell them if there's anything going on?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, as much as he wants to pitch, I mean, in this day and age, you have to be, you know, you really have to be hard-headed not to, if you get hurt again and you're not saying anything, I mean, with the money at stake, with his future, he's got to raise his hand here, you know? I mean, if so, you don't need heroes right now. You need healthy pitchers, and he's got more than enough time to get ready. I don't think, you know, he's got to overextend anything. But if you're hurt, and you go to the trainer and tell him.
On the flip side of the injury news, in order to get Oscar Mercado on the roster, they had to put Tyler Naquin on the injured list. Naquin with a hamstring tweak, I guess, is the
left calf.
Yeah, the hamstring was Kranichek down in at AAA. We'll get to him. But yeah, left calf for Tyler Naquin. And you know, I've already gotten some emails from fans asking why the Indians can't seem to keep their calves healthy. I don't think it's an epidemic, but you know, these sort of things pop up throughout the season. Again, it's a question with Naquin of staying healthy and being able to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I felt bad. You know, I was talking to him. He played last Friday in Oakland and had they got beat, but he made a great catch and extended the game in the ninth inning. Had a couple hits. I think they only had two or three hits. He's been playing decently. And then he doesn't play Saturday, Sunday with the calf, and he's telling me, oh, it's not too bad. You know, I should be back. And then, you know, the next day he's on the DL and, you know, Mercado is up. Now, I still think just from talking to him, you know, they backdate this injury to the last Saturday, and he could be back pretty quick. And, but we all know with calf injuries with the Indians, you know, pretty quick can turn into a long time, in a blink of an eye. So let's just take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, I mean, I think Naquin is, out of all the outfielders, has been probably the most consistent. We haven't seen the power, much power from him, but he's hitting, I think, 278. You know, he's playing every day. He's playing a good right field. And this is one of those guys that just can't stay on the field, Joe. I mean, that was his whole goal coming into this season, you know, was to play as much as he could. And so now he's got this calf injury. He's got to handle it. And it's going to be interesting, Joe, when he's ready to come back. What do? Do they send Mercado down? You know, that's probably the easy move. Or are one of these veteran guys in trouble? Is Gonzalez in trouble? A guy like Gonzalez is, you know, do they make a move with him,
or Martin or something like that?
Or Martin, yeah. Or you know, do they go a little younger then? It's going to be interesting.
What's Martin at, like 22 consecutive games with a strikeout?
And I asked him about it. He goes, strikeouts don't bother him. He just said, strikeouts have always been a part of my game. I've always struck out a lot.
Well,
you know, he struck out 50 times, close to 50 times.
Yeah, that's – I mean, you're up there with, like, Aaron Judge strikeout numbers.
If you're going to do that, you got to hit 20 home runs.
Exactly.
You got to have, like, 15 home runs by now.
You know, the other outfielder that we need to mention here is Jordan Luplo, who really has sort of lit the world on fire since his return, his recall from AAA. If Jordan Luplo could play against the White Sox every game, I think he'd be happy. If he could face Manny Benuelos for the rest of his life, I think that would be his ideal situation. Two games with two home runs against the White Sox in his last couple outings against them.
Yeah, he's been really a pleasant, you know, he's really, I guess, pleasant surprise. I don't know if that's right, but since he's come up for the second time, you know, in late April, I mean, he's really played well, and they played him in the right spots. They platooned him. You know, I'd like to see him get a little more time, you know, get a little more regular playing time. Hopefully, you know, he gets it. I mean, I don't know what more you can do to get more playing time. You know, the last time he hit two home runs against the White Sox, he was on the bench the next day. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens tonight, if he's playing in there tonight. You know, at least he's a threat to leave the yard, Joe.
I mean,
no one else, you know, except for Lindor, who's going to hit a home run on this club, you know? And so, I mean, at least maybe Lupo can do something. I wonder what the Pirates, you know, he was up and down with the Pirates, what, 2 or 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always showed a little bit of pop, but maybe he gets a chance every day in the big leagues to play, and we, you know, we'll see what he really can do.
Well, that's why his slugging percentage was always pretty high, even with the Pirates and in the at AAA. When he puts the ball in play, when he gets a hit, it's usually for extra bases. It's either a home run or a double for him. When he's going well and not striking out and all that kind of stuff. A real change for him in the second trip up with the club.
He's, you know, and you can see the confidence in him. I think he just feels better about himself. And when he went down to Columbus, and you go, you know, what, he hit like 350 mm-hmm. in about 12 games? He said, you could almost, the stats look like a guy saying, all right, I've been through this before. This is not where I want to spend a lot of time. And, you know, this is what I really can do. And it's translating in the big leagues.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to take a second here, just take a break in the show to mention Project Text and get your opinion and see how things are going with that. You're sharing your inside takes on the Indians via text message with our fans and our listeners who have signed up. I believe, can they still sign up for free? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's still – I thought we were shutting it off in the middle of May, but I think, as far as I know, I think it's still, you can still jump on there for free and, you know, test it out, take it for a test drive, see what you think. But it's been fun, Joe. It's been a blast. I've gotten a lot of, you know, on the free side of it, a lot of people have testing it from all over the country, you know, a lot of different area codes, And people seem to have enjoyed it. I try to give people kind of a little, like you were saying, an inside look at the tribe. I send out 2 or 3 texts a day. I've been answering a lot of questions. It's almost like answering Hey Hoinsies, you
right.
know, every day. So, but it's been fun. And I think people have enjoyed it. I think, if you're a tribe fan, you give it a try because it's it's kind of fun. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Well, there's links on this post and in every post that we put on Cleveland.com. You can follow the link and sign up for a free trial or a monthly subscription to Paul's text on Project Text. And we have a variety of other texts as well. Indians, Browns, Cavs, Ohio State, beer. Heck, we got everything covered. We've got any angle for you.
If fans want to know what comes first, the chicken or the egg concerning the Indians hitting, they can find out about that in those texts from Jake Bowers. That's Professor Jake Bowers. He's a philosopher now, and he kind of put that question out there.
Well, that's not a philosophy question. That's a biology question. I'm sorry, he's a biologist or a philosopher. Hey, Paul, do we have any questions that we can take right now? Let's take one or two now before we wrap up. I want to mention one more anecdote here before we get going. But any questions?
Yeah, we got a couple questions, Joe. This is from Ron Kellogg from Cleveland. Are there two different kinds of bats? Are players using two different kinds of bats? Are the home run hitters using harder lumber? And does the bats with harder lumber, do they lead to more injuries, shoulder or oblique injuries?
Well, wasn't it a few years ago, the maple revolution, that everybody started swinging maple bats instead of ash bats because the maple was harder? I think the players are responsible for their own, you know, equipment in terms of what brand or style or make or model that they have. I was shocked when we were down in Miami to see Corey Kluber taking batting practice, the day before he got injured. I saw Corey Kluber swinging a bat. I looked at it. I asked him, hey, you know, whose bat are you borrowing or whose are you using? This is a Corey Kluber bat. It had his name on it. Corey Kluber's got his own bat. I'm like, you know, he might swing, you know, 3 or 4 at-bats in a season maybe, but he's got his own model bat. So I don't think that the maker, the style of bat that they're using contributes to injuries. That's certainly
no
problem that I think.
And there's, you know, all sorts of people use different kinds of wood and bats. You know, there's all sorts of, I think there's maybe 20 different brands of bats that are, you know, approved by Major League Baseball. They have to be built a certain way. But like you said, Joe, a lot of maple's probably the hardest wood that's used, then ash. And, you know, I think there's other woods have been used. And I guess, I think it's more the guy swinging the bat than the bat itself when it comes to determining if the ball goes out of the park or not.
Right. One of the things with the way that the bats are painted now, you get some different looks. You know, there's bats that are two-toned and gray or whatever, or dark painted. Always look for the there's a spot on the handle of the bat. It's required that's like a show me spot that you can see that it's actually a wood bat underneath the paint and all that. So I always, you know, take it. It's something I always notice when I'm looking at their bats, but it's interesting. Carlos Gonzalez might have the most spare bats, or, you know, used bats, or he's got a whole locker next to him in the clubhouse that's just lined with bats. I how can one guy swing that many different bats? I noticed, but it was interesting. Yeah, there's just a ton of different kinds.
Yeah, I always look for the bat, Joe, that, you know, at the top, you know, from the things I heard, that if you're going to cork a bat, you drill it through the top of the bat.
Right.
And you stuff the whatever, that the illegal substance, down into the middle of the bat.
Right.
Then you plug it back up. And when it's done right, it's hard to tell. It's almost impossible to tell. We'll have to ask Albert Bell about
that.
Yeah,
we'll ask Albert next time we have him on. We did talk to Albert recently, but next time. We did not bring up cork bats the last time we talked to Albert Bell.
Okay, this is the next one. Another question from Joe Sepik from Powell, Ohio.
Okay,
is Oscar Mercado up too early, and why not bring Greg Allen up instead of him?
There's about 600 points on an OPS that would be the reason why the Indians would bring Mercado up in front of Allen. I think, you know, you just sent Allen down a couple of weeks ago. I don't think bringing him right back up is the solution you're looking for. No, he's not up too early. He's up earlier than I thought he would be. I thought it'd be June before he came up. I thought it'd be about mid-June before Mercado came up. But, you know, let's go. Get him going. The offense needs something.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Allen will be up here. He'll get another shot. I don't think he was used, the right way when he opened camp. I mean, opened the season. But hey, the manager picks the roles, and you got to fill that role. But I think Mercado, you know, I'm not sure, Joe, how long he's up here for. If Naquin comes back, just from listening to the way Francona was talking in Chicago, it sounds like he may be, you know, he might be going down, but I think this is important for him. Gets up here, sees what the big leagues are like, gets his feet wet, and, you know, just has that experience, gets the nerves, everything out of the way. Next time he comes up, he'll be ready to go.
Well, the only way he can guarantee himself a spot is to just hit and keep hitting the whole time he's up here. Make it impossible for them to send him down.
That's exactly right. And last question is from James Regan, out of Baton Rouge. Would the Tribe ever release Jason Kipnis? I think it would be a addition by subtraction.
What's the contract? 14 million?
14 and a half.
14 and a half million. And they would still be on the hook
next year.
How many? Yeah, it's a couple million, right?
I don't know. Probably right around a million, but I'm not sure on that.
Okay. I thought it was like a $2 million buyout.
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
I mean, the $2 million the buyout for next year is a foregone conclusion. That's a done deal. As far as releasing him, I don't see it.
I don't see that either. I think Kipnis is this far away from getting it going. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been watching him really closely on this last trip. He had two hits against Chicago. You know, he had a bunt hit.
And he had a line drive into right field there.
Yeah. And, he's been playing great defense, a lot better defense than we've seen Kipnis play in the last couple of years, especially going to his right. I think he's really close to breaking out of this thing and playing well. You know, this is a huge year for him. Mm-hmm. He has to play well, or he's going to be one of those guys, those veteran guys getting invited to camp, you know, in February on a minor league
deal. He's going to be on minor league deals and trying to catch on.
And I can see him. He's this close. And hopefully he breaks out of it and helps the Indians and helps himself as well.
All right. Well, we just passed the 38th anniversary of Lenny Barker's perfect game. That was on the 15th of May, 1981. Paul, you know, just from being around the team and being around the guys who were in that game, you know, what are some of the stories that you've heard or the tales that have been told about Lenny Barker's perfect game? It's just such a part of, for Indians fans and for those who are around the team, it's just such a part of the history and the lore of this club is, you know, the images that we have of Rick Manning squeezing that last out and then, you know, galloping into the infield as they celebrated that win against the Blue Jays.
Yeah. The thing I remember, Joe, I wasn't at that game. I didn't cover that game. And I remember talking to Mike Hargrove about it. He was playing first base. And I was talking to Hargrove when he was, of course, the manager of the Indians. And he was saying, with the later that game got, his concentration was so focused, you know, when they knew what that was at stake. When he was on defense, he said it felt like he was on had tunnel vision. When he was looking, he was watching the hitter on TV. He was so zeroed in on that. And I remember talking to Barker. He had a breaking – Ron Hassey was the catcher. And Barker's breaking ball was like he was breaking like almost like 20 inches. He said it was all – he never had another breaking ball like that. He never threw that same breaking ball again. But on that night, it was breaking all over the place. And I just remember Hassey talking about it and saying what a great pitch it was. I think Hassey caught a perfect game for Dennis Martinez too in Montreal.
Right. Right.
Maybe he caught another one in the Dodgers for the Dodgers.
I'm pretty sure he caught – didn't he catch one? Yeah, he caught one. It might not have been a perfect game, but a no-hitter for sure.
Yeah, and I think I know he caught Dennis Martinez perfect. I thought Dennis threw a perfect game.
Yeah, Dennis threw a perfect game. So,
and I think Hassey was the catcher. So, yeah, I just – you know, I just – and I remember, you know, it was – I remember Tony Grossi was covering that game Pluto had the night off for the Plain Dealer when Terry was covering the Indians for the Plain Dealer. Grossi was covering the game, and Pluto was getting an award. He was at some kind of banquet, and he found out that LeBarker was throwing a perfect game. So he came over to the press box, and I think he ended up writing something. But it was – I mean, that was – it just like it was a typical, May Cleveland night. It was foggy. It was – oh, God, it was cold.
We see that every night in the press box with the Indians when until both teams get a hit, everybody's on edge. And in terms of the writers, everybody's on edge to have to pull out the no hitter material and the perfect game material. I think when Trevor Bauer was, you know, five innings in with no hits earlier this season, I think everybody was on high alert. So it's always interesting, you know, when both teams finally do break through, everybody sort of takes a sigh of relief in terms of the writers, not necessarily the fans. They're all disappointed, but the writers know that, you know, things aren't going to be, you know, you don't have to do anything special for the no hitter.
Yeah, I know the AP guys, they've got to start writing no hit stories at the fifth inning from the fifth inning.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to change it every inning. I mean, that's crazy, man. And I remember, you know, of course, opening day at Progressive Field, when the park opened, and the big unit was
Randy Johnson.
And And Bob Feller, the author of the only opening day no-hitter in baseball history, was in the press box.
And he was, and he made no bones about being very relieved when
he definitely was.
Indians broke through and got a hit off of Johnson.
And, you know, like Bob had talked to anybody. So every reporter was up there talking to him between innings and stuff. It was crazy. But I know Rapid Robert was happy when who got the hit? Sandy, I think. Sandy
got the first Indians hit. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's great. All right. Well, we will see you at the ballpark. The opening of an 11-game homestand tonight, Thursday, at Progressive Field. The Orioles and then the Athletics come to town after that.
The Rays come to town.
And the Rays come in. Oh, geez. What's
going to happen? We'll get to see Yandy and the opener.
Yandy, the opener, and who knows what the hell Tito's going to pull with Cash this time. Last time Cash stole Tito's scooter, put it out in the infield for batting practice. So you know something's coming. Tito keeps it pretty calm at the Progressive Field side of things. I don't know what he does down in Tampa, but –
He's afraid to open the door in Tampa.
He usually just puts something embarrassing up on the scoreboard about Cash.
Yeah.
That's been the regular routine so far. But Cash got him good with the scooter last year. There was still a dent in the scooter when they took it out. All right, Hoynesy, we will talk to you again later. And this is good. We got to hear a little bit about the behind-the-scenes stuff from Lenny Barker's no-hitter. Very cool.